Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And these programs are recorded and archived on the website at the radio shows page. Still the same website, richarddugan.com, and then the links are right at the top of the page. And we're so thankful that you take the time to tune in and gather some additional information to help you in your life to move forward and make those dreams that you have come alive. That is really what it is all about. I've been doing a great deal of pondering and thinking over the previous several years in particular, maybe more so since I turned 50, which still boggles my mind. I still ask that question, how did I get here? What in the world happened that propelled me to this spot? Because it's like I was just 17 and I just started this search and questioning, and I was so curious about so many different things, and I still am, and that hasn't left me. And yet now I have across that supposed speed bump or milestone, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm into the second half of my life, and I'm really looking forward to it and looking forward to having you join us each week here on the program as we take a look at so many different ideas and concepts, beliefs, and share them. And I hope that you'll share them with your friends and family as well. They're well worth looking into. Everybody that we have on the program has incredible passion and love for the direction that they're going, and we're all looking for answers that will help us to the next step and the next step and the next step, and to help us help those who are a rung below us on that proverbial ladder. Well, to help us to continue to climb that ladder is a wonderful gentleman who I love, especially because of the fact that he's a fine Irishman, Patrick Ryan, and he has a book called Awakened Wisdom, A Guide to Reclaiming Your Brilliance, which is a wonderful phrase that I hear quite often in Ireland. Oh, that was brilliant. It's brilliant. And it's brilliant to have you here on the program today, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Richard. It's a thrill to be here with my Irish ancestry behind me, my Canadian upbringing with me, and my current residency in the United States completely holding me.
Well, now
we're covering a lot of territory there.
Well, we certainly are. We certainly are. But so are you in terms of I hear this phrase a lot, life coach. You're referred to more as an executive coach. You're a leadership trainer as well as an author, entrepreneur. And I found this rather fascinating. You are a Buddhist monk. How did an Irish lad of Canadian ancestry or birth become a Buddhist monk?
You know, the story of how I became a Buddhist monk, I'd say there's two levels to that. There's the details of it, which people can always read about in my first book, The Eagle's Call, because it's kind of a interesting story for people who like to read travel stories or stories of synchronicity and all that kind of stuff. But at a higher level, the answer to your question is this, is that one of the things that I've been blessed with in my life is a willingness to follow the pull of my heart and the wisdom of my mind. And I found myself in Canada one day in a life with a very successful business and a great life that I had created, and I felt called to just go on a walk. And so I decided to go and have that walk in Asia, and I literally had no direction in mind, no purpose in mind, and certainly no plan. And in the course of that walk, I found myself guided to the gates of a Buddhist monastery, and I literally rattled at the iron gate out front and introduced myself to them, and they graciously allowed me to stay with them. In the beginning, we thought just for a few days of contemplation and meditation. But one thing led to another, and I kept extending my stay, and this was in Burma, by the way, which is, that in itself is an extraordinary place to be. And one thing led to another, and I kept extending my stay, and they came to me one day, much to my surprise, and said that they felt that it was important that I became a monk and joined them. And at first, I was really resistant to the idea, and I said no to the idea because it just didn't correlate with anything I had made up about what I would be up to in my life. But once I sat with it for a while, the idea warmed up to me. I got really curious about it. I got interested in it, and I agreed to step into it. And so I entered into what I call the adventure of being a monk, and ended up being a monk for 1 year. And when I came out of the monkhood, 1 year later, I went on another walkabout through the Himalayas and through India just to try to reorient which way I wanted to move in the world, and eventually found myself back in North America. And that's how I've been working as a leadership development person and a coach ever since.
Before you went off on your journey into Asia and became a Buddhist monk, did you have those kinds of leanings? Was there a pull in that regard? Or once again, following your heart, it just led you there and it fit?
Yeah, you know, I think the leaning that I've always had in my life is to really understand what's needed to walk a good walk as a human on this planet. And there's so many ancient traditions and wisdoms that have a lot to teach us about that. And certainly Buddhism is an amazing body of work, an amazing teaching, and provides important guidance for us. I've also studied with indigenous wisdoms for over a decade with a variety of teachers, and find the impact of the indigenous teachings on me has also been really, really profound. And as an entrepreneur, and I have been an entrepreneur my whole life and created several businesses in a wide variety of industries, and, you know, I would say that my main interest as an entrepreneur was the same thing. It was really understanding, what do people need to have better lives? What do people need in their life right now? And what part can I play in supporting people and fulfilling the things that they want to find their joy and their happiness? And so if anything, that's the thread, is that desire to understand what it is to be a human on this planet.
And in that light, as far as dealing with the various corporations, the thought that came to mind had to do with, do you get, it seems to me, if I had the mentality of what we think of as the corporate dynamic, they're interested only in the bottom line, in making more money. That seems to be the main focus. And if you came into my corporation and started telling my employees about all of this stuff, I'm very concerned, as the CEO of this corporation, that you are going to undermine my ability to make more and more and more money. And yet, knowing where you're coming from, I personally wouldn't have a problem with that. It's like, so how much money does the CEO need, or this corporation need? I mean, come on, let's get real. You can only spend so much, you know, unless you're trying to own the world, which, you know, it sometimes you have to wonder. But I was reading here in this little brochure that you have on Awakened Wisdom Experiences, Corporate and Leadership Training Programs. Can you afford the hidden expense of a single disengaged employee? What is needed to maximize the potential of your organization? I don't get, from what I just read there in those last two lines, that has anything to do with money, with acquiring more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do more with, as you've stated, and as this program seeks to find, that place where I'm happy, I am joyous, and I'm doing my life's purpose.
Yeah, I get it, and I really appreciate your question. And the connection between these two things is really direct. And so what I would say to that is, when I work with either executives in organizations, or if we're working with a team in an organization, what we're supporting them in as the leaders that they are in the organizations is how to not only have themselves, but how to have their entire organization be vibrant, to have everybody's minds be open, creative, to have everybody's hearts be in good connection with each other, to have a good quality of relationships in the organization. And when a team can get to the place where the ideas, the energy between them is really clean and bright, then they're able to operate at a very, very high level. And then when a team is operating at that kind of a level of vibrancy, then they accomplish their agenda much quicker, much more cleanly, with a lot less stress, a lot less fuss. It's like everybody's really oriented to creating from the best of each other. And that's a big part of it. You know, in organizations, you know, people often ask me why I even want to do coaching and consulting in organizations. And my first thought is, well, that's where the people are.
Okay.
So of course I'd want to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And so organizations in the old model are you know, probably, not probably, I think we could definitely say they were over profit oriented. But I think in the emerging model of organizations, especially the organizations that are really flourishing in this day and age, and especially since the last couple years of economic shakeup, those are the organizations that understand the importance of their relationship to the world they're in. They understand that the impact they're having on the world around them, the people they touch, the environment that they touch, that does make a difference to their bottom line. And so I'm all for organizations making lots of profit. It's like, please make lots of profit. Of course, we understand that's important, but not at all cost. And so it's really about balancing out how do you get your organization not only to make money, but to have a very, very positive impact on the planet and all the people it touches. And that's where we have a lot to offer in the conversations that we stimulate.
And I'm wondering how you manage to change the agenda of a corporation when you're able to not only work with the employees, but even work your way up to the chair, the board and or the CEO, that agenda starts to shift. And now their company, their corporation then begins to become, if I can use the buzzword, more sustainable because of the fact that they're entering into a new mindset.
Absolutely, and this, you know, this comes about in a couple of ways. First of all, there are some organizations out there that are really get this, and they're really oriented around that. And it's no surprise, by the way, that these are the organizations that are arguably being the most profitable right now. And I'm talking about the Apples, the Googles, the Whole Foods of the world, organizations like that, that kind of get this right to their core. This isn't news to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually working these ideas every day. Now, for organizations that are still either caught in the old model, what I find is within those organizations that the people working in there, they want their organization to actually come to a higher level of consciousness. They want their organization to operate differently in the world. And in our coaching conversations, we always have this kind of joke that they become the secret agents of creating change inside the organization. and so what we find is that if the system of the organization is already awakened to these ideas, then really the question is, great, then how do we get you operating at a better and higher level, and you're already aligned with that? And for the people that are in the old systems, it's more about how can they change that system from within. And, you know, you only need about 5 or 6 or 7% of the people in an organization to form a critical mass. And it's amazing the impact that can have on the overall consciousness of that organization.
Wow. We're going to talk more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. My guest is Patrick Ryan, author of Awakened Wisdom. And you can also go to awakenedwisdom.com, find out more about the experiences as well as the book, A Guide to Reclaiming Your Brilliance. We're going to find out a little bit more about that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't go away.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand.
Understanding is what it is all about. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with Patrick Ryan, author of Awakened Wisdom. And again, it is the a practical guide. It's a guide to reclaiming your brilliance. And I found that so fascinating when my wife and I did visit Ireland, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, that was a common phrase when they wanted to compliment someone or some action that took place. Oh, that was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I would have to say that so is this book and what you're about, because what you're describing to me, Patrick, and to our listeners, is a way to actually, and I loved what you referred to as secret agent. The corporations become secret agents. It seems to me that as more and more companies begin to realize that there is a better and or a higher way of doing business that is not only beneficial to that company and its employees. And when I say that, I would like to see the employees getting those $1 million bonuses and maybe tone down the bonuses to the people up above. Because I'll be honest with you, it is not these guys at the top of the pile that are doing the work that's making the money. It's the people at the bottom. That one television show where Undercover Boss, I absolutely love that program where these CEOs, where these heads of companies and corporations go into the trenches and they are shocked at the level of passion and enthusiasm that many of these people have in spite of the adversities in their own personal lives. And yet they're still giving and giving to that company. So I thought, what a neat idea. What a great concept for a program. I'd like to see it happen more so that more of the heads of companies and higher-ups, management people. That's why I loved when I was working in radio, Patrick. I became an operations manager, but I continued to do the work that everybody else did. And so I never lost touch with what they went through, because I was going through it too. And mm-hmm. And that, to me, makes a world of difference. And that's why I think the pay scale is flipped a little bit too much in one direction. And I'm hoping that one day that does indeed shift a little bit more, so it's more equitable. Because, you know, it is the people in the fields and people in the factories and people on the phone lines and at the computers that are the ones making the money for the corporate heads. And it seems as though they've lost that understanding. But we're actually talking about more than just that. We're talking about everybody, including the CEOs, living their purpose, finding their passion, and living it, aren't we?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up a good point. And we definitely know of CEOs and organizations where the amount of money the CEOs are being paid is just extraordinarily out of whack. Having said that, I don't think that's the norm, only because the reason those stories stand out for us is because they are extreme examples. But what I do believe is that once the system in an organization comes into a higher level of consciousness, that these things do balance out, that everybody is recognized and acknowledged, no matter what your job function is, no matter what your role is, that everybody is met within the organization, first of all, as human to human, and then secondly, through the roles that we hold in the organization. And so when you meet each other as human to human, and you happen to be up in the C-suite of an organization, then you're going to have, by nature of that, a lot of regard and respect and generosity for the people that are working in other roles. And the same thing when you're working in the other roles in an organization that's really awakened and respectful, then you're going to have that same respect go back to the C-level. When you get an organization like that going, you find that right across the board, people are happy, they're fulfilled, their needs are looked after financially and in other forms of prosperity. And there's really a lesson for us in this with what has just happened in Egypt. Because really what we're talking about is leaders and leadership. And leaders in organizations, or leaders of countries, and we're all leading in some way, they're either going to be attuned to the system they're in and what's needed, and they're going to be responding to that, or they're going to have to alienate themselves, like shutter themselves more and more into a shrinking room of denying what's being needed and asked of from them, and eventually that's going to fall apart. And I've had the really amazing privilege of working with people in Egypt for the last couple of years and watching the people wanting to be able to create their dreams, and they learning how to take the initiative and learning how to be solopreneurs and to walk out into Cairo and other parts of Egypt and see their dreams come true, and then to be met with a system that was just totally corrupt and shutting them down at every turn. And I couldn't be more excited for what has happened there. And I know this recording will live longer into the moment. So on the day that we're talking right now is a day after the people have been liberated from Mubarak and his cronies. And so this is, and I've been texting with the people in Egypt for the last few days and exchanging, everything from care and concern to congratulations. This is hugely excited, and this is exactly what we're talking about. How do we create our dreams in the world, and how do we bring everybody along? There's no competition between our dreams.
Yeah.
We can all have our dreams.
Exactly. You know, and you bring up an interesting point as well, because I began to observe, as I have learned over the years, anytime there are outward manifestations of activity in the world, they are just that, an outward manifestation of what's going on in my life and in my world and in myself. So I started saying, okay, well, what role do the Egyptian people play as it relates to my life? And what role, or what does Mubarak and his perspective represent in my life? In other words, turning it in, being more introspective in that regard. Not so much, you know, I don't know any of these people and I don't know him. But what I do know is that you have a collective saying we want change. And then we have a singularity saying, I don't want change. I'm going to hold out. And eventually he did let go. All right, well, turn that inwardly. How does that manifest in your life? Where is the crowd in your life? And where is that singularity in your life? I thought that was...
Absolutely.
Expound, if you can, a little more on that.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that, in that the life that we're living is a direct reflection of our inner life. And so it really behooves us all to look inside and to get that we're in a hall of mirrors. And for your listeners, if you're experiencing a lot of prosperity and fulfillment and happiness, then this is a direct reflection of your inner experience. And hooray for you that you have found your own walk that creates that. And for the listeners that are feeling struggled and challenged and things are not working out, it's like, wow, this is so, first of all, it's so normal, and you're not wrong or bad because that's going on. And you've really got to look inside and go, okay, what's going on in your inner world that's creating that? Because we can never put the blame outside. We have to take the responsibility from the inside out to say, okay, I've got to change myself first, because when we change ourselves, then the world we're in will start reflecting that change back to us.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, that was, interesting observation, okay, the Egyptians, going back to more of the outward manifestation, you know, they wanted change. They wanted this gentleman out. He'd been there for 30 years, and things weren't going well, and the people didn't like it, and they wanted something new. And my first thought was, all right, so you get him out. Are you sure that you're going to get in place what you want? And it was just now that the thought occurred to me, Patrick, they will, because they stood up to this individual for 18, 19 days, and out he went. So they won't tolerate anything less than what they want. Do you think that that's a fair observation?
I believe that's true. You know, specifically to Egypt, I know that Egypt is populated with brilliant, creative people, and they will find their way through it. And, you know, again, to kind of weave that same idea back to our own lives, when we need to make a big change in our life, when we realize that the life that we're living right now, the circumstances of the life that we're living right now, are no longer reflecting our true core values, is no longer fulfilling us, then we've got to be willing to, you know, as somebody said to me a long time ago, it's a great expression, I'll never forget it. He said, look, you've got to break the eggs to make the omelet. And so in our life, we have to do that as well. We have to be willing sometimes just to, like, shake it up and release ourselves from the things that are not working without knowing where that's going to take us, because we can want what we want, but we can't really know how that's going to come about.
True.
And so it takes a lot of courage to kind of face into the life we're living and to be willing to shake out the parts that we're not being congruent with and step into this unknown place where we enter a time of prototyping, where we enter a time of just trying stuff out. And this is what the Egyptians will be doing. It's going to take years, I think, at least 3 to 5 years, just for the initial stage of that. And in our personal lives, sometimes it can take months or even a year or two when we really shake our life up to keep trying stuff out. And then eventually we find that new groove that's much more aligned with who we are today.
My guest is the author of Awakened Wisdom, and it is a guide to reclaiming your brilliance. And we're going to come back after this break, and we're going to talk more about this with Patrick Ryan. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And we'd love to hear from you. My email address is richard@richarddugan.com. And we're talking today with Patrick Ryan. He's the author of Awakened Wisdom. It is a guide to reclaiming your brilliance. And Patrick, I want to backtrack just a little bit. I want to go into some of the other areas as well. You have some programs that we want to talk about as well. And I want to talk about this brilliance that you make reference to, that we're trying to reclaim through this Awakened Wisdom. But where does Patrick's journey, his, shall we say, search begin? Did you come out of the womb saying, this is what I'm going to do? Or was there that catalytic moment where you had this event or what have you, or this epiphany? Ah, it's this way. And off you went.
All of the above. So,
you know, okay. Thank you so much for calling.
That's right. You know, there was certainly is the story that when I was a young lad in Canada, you know, 6, 7 years old, kind of running around. People say, "What do you want to do with your life?" And my answer was, "I want to be a psychiatrist," because at that age, that was the only model I had that seemed to open the doorway for me to go and interact with people the way I wanted to. So clearly it was something that I'd been called to. And then when I was a teenager, like so many other teenagers, I found myself living a really, you know, the dark side of life. I found myself, I'd come from a really good family, and I still managed to find myself homeless. I was playing in the drug world. I was living a really dark, shadowy life. And I even managed to successfully knock myself off one day. I managed to lose my life. And I had a death experience. And I say a near-death experience is when you're on a plane and it has a close call. But when you've actually died and you've had a death experience. And so in coming out of that experience, I had been profoundly impacted with the experience of touching into the infinity of this universe in a way that is difficult to articulate. But that, when I came out of that, I was really committed. I said, that's it for the rest of my life. I'm going to follow the light of the consciousness. I'm going to commit my entire life to learning how to walk the highest and best walk possible and to share whatever I can discover about that with other people. So in the meantime, I started creating as an entrepreneur. I started creating businesses, and I have small businesses and medium-sized businesses and retail and manufacturing and consulting and training. And as much as creating the business itself was fun, I was really far more compelled about supporting other people and creating their dreams. But it didn't matter what business I was in. My question was always, is how is this leading to the fulfillment of a better life for the people that I'm working with? And that's always been a prevailing question in my life. And every day I wake up, when I can answer that question, how am I going to do more of that today, then I know I'm set up for a good day.
And you don't concern yourself with, well, what's Patrick going to do for Patrick?
Think more about that question. I'm not sure really what that means.
Well, you're saying that when you get up every morning, you're thinking, how can I help other people fulfill their dreams? What about Patrick's dreams? How does that come into play?
The good news is they're completely connected.
Okay.
And so when I'm expressing myself in the world through the coaching other people, through running our public workshops, by writing the books, that is my dream. To be able to express myself in the world like that is absolutely, for me, it's amazing and I love it. And on the other side of life, it's like, I as a hobby, I'll go race Formula race cars. I love burning up and down highway number one in California, the coastal highway, in my motorcycle. There's so many ways that we can kind of bring our own dreams through, going out for a hike in nature and just communing with the people that pass by and the animals and the beings that are out there. And in April, I'm going to take a group of people out to the Joshua Tree National Park area for a week, and we're going to go into this really deep retreat where we're going to drop into these questions about seeking vision and healing and just exploring the nature of life. I mean, wow, for me, that's the ultimate use of a week in my life. So those are my dreams, and I'm living and fulfilling them every day.
Wow, that's very cool. Now, the book is entitled Awakened Wisdom, and a guide to reclaiming your brilliance. Tell me, I like to define terms. What is this brilliance that you're talking about? That apparently, you imply this in the subtitle, we had lost it, and now we have to reclaim it so we have it again.
Yeah, you know, when every one of us is born into this life, we're like born wide open, and we bring this connection to the world, to the universe, to the people around us, and in the open fullness of that connection, we lie there in our birth crib, in our wholeness, and then we start moving through life, and perhaps we get teased at some point, or an angry parent reacts to something that we did. Different things happen, and we slowly start shutting down. And if you use the metaphor of a diamond as the example of brilliance, and the Tibetans would say that the diamond represents the hidden potential within people. And if you ever see a diamond when it's rough, and I was a jeweler for 10 years, so I used to work with them, and if you ever see a diamond in the rough, they don't really look that interesting unless you know it's a diamond. You could walk right over it and not even recognize it for what it is. But they have to be cut and polished. And when you do that, then the brilliance comes out through them. And we humans are like that. So as we go through life, we're cut and polished, and we develop these facets. And so that's that cycle of being born in our wholeness, and then the roughing up that life does to us, the shutting down, the closing off, and then the work we do to reclaim, to reopen, to polish who we are, and to bring all that through. It's an amazing process, and I think it is one of the ultimate purposes of this life, is to go through that process.
Well, I know that that is one of the questions that I have asked now for the last, for the last year. It's been quite out there in front of me. I was in the middle of an interview just like this one, and this question was sitting there in the back of my mind, and I said, no, I can't ask that question. It's not in the flow of what we're talking about. It's irrelevant in that sense. We weren't going in that direction, and that question would not go away. And so I had to stop, not stop the interview, but I had to stop in the midst of the interview and say to my guest, you know, one of the rules that I live by with this radio program is that I don't ask the questions the universe does, and it's asking a question that will not go away. And that question I will put to you, and I'll give you the same short preface. What is humanity's purpose here? What are we trying to achieve? Where do we want to be in 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or do we even want to be here? And the last time that we as a collective body accomplished something of a positive and a creative nature was the 1960s space program. Granted, it was the space race. However, when we launched those rockets into outer space, or when the Russians launched their rockets, everybody was watching with bated breath, waiting and hoping that these men would come back safely and that they would accomplish their task. That was the last time that I can recall in my own lifetime that mankind went out and tried to accomplish something and achieve something. So now I put it, it seems like we're not, that we just keep playing the same old war games and money games and political games year in, year out, decade, decade out. So I put it to you, Patrick Ryan, author of Awakened Wisdom. What are we here to achieve?
Great question. And let's take a lifetime and figure it out. Just kidding. Here's what comes to my mind, and truly, it's a great question. Thank you for asking it. If you look at, like, when you referenced the idea of the space program, that was truly an amazing time. And I do think as speaking more for the West and for North America in particular, we did get off the rails. I think we did somehow get off on this tangent where we lost the essence of what life was all about. So in coming back to that, this is going to be really metaphysical for those of you that love that, and for those of you that don't like that, just hang in and be patient. So if you imagine that this universe is a consciousness in and of itself, and it is, and this consciousness, I think, is evolving, and in the history of the universe, really one of the more recent creations of the universe are the humans. We're really, really recent. If you kind of mapped out the history of the universe, we'd be the tiniest little dot at the end of the trail. So why bring the humans forward? Well, because as humans, we got to bring the wild card into the universe. We are unpredictable. We do create choices. We do shift our paths with every choice we make. And I think from the universe's point of view, this is important for the universe to be able to continue developing and growing itself, is that we humans do what we do. Having said that, when we look at when we are the most open and the most connected is when we are experiencing joy and love. And at the end of the day, I think that's really the ultimate purpose, is to be in joy, to be in love with each other and with this world around us. And, you know, again, just to reference, you know, what was going on in Egypt this last little while, when strangers lying throughout the night in Tahrir Square together, holding each other and keeping each other warm, and holding each other in their strength and their love for each other. And these were people who, they didn't even know each other's names before they met in the square. So that's a brilliant expression of what happens when we open up our oneness and we just receive and accept. And we have to receive and accept ourselves, and then we're really able to receive and accept others. So all the goals that we create, because as a coach, I work with people and say, yes, let's create the goals, let's get the benchmarks. But at the end of the day, it's what's the point of that goal? what was the point of the space program right back then? It was to inspire people. It was to connect people to their individual and collective brilliance. The space program represented what was possible for us all.
I like that. I want to also get another definition from you as to this wisdom that you speak of in the title, Awakened Wisdom.
Yeah, every one of us, in every moment of our life, we have the capacity to meet that moment, I'm going to simplify here, in one of two different ways, even though there's a thousand variations of each of these. We have the capacity to meet that moment from a place that is grounded, resourceful, open, and connected. And from that place, we are tapped into a greater wisdom around us. We're tapped into each other. And it doesn't matter how big the challenges we're facing. It's because we are in that connection, and that's the place in the book I call that divine essence. We're in this place of divine essence, and in the oneness of that experience, we can meet any moment in the highest and best way possible. Or we have the capacity to get caught in fear and judgment, criticism, blame, shame towards self or others, and when we get caught in those moments, we're meeting each other in a distorted way, and so I call that the distorted self. And when we meet each other from distortions, we're reacting to life rather than responding to life. We're afraid of what's going to go on. We're pushing it away. We're creating separation in it all. Mm. So the wisdom is accessed through meeting life through divine essence. And what's really cool about that is, although for the most part, we know how to do that naturally. In the book, I describe ways that people can learn how to do it more effectively. And I kind of equate it to learning how to play golf, although I must admit I've never gotten really good at the game. But it's a little bit like you can always hit the occasional great golf shot. You don't need to practice a lot to hit the occasional good golf shot. But to be able to string masterful golf shots back to back to back, that takes practice. That takes learning. And so that's a lot of the work that I'm doing in the world, is showing people how to string those moments of brilliance together back to back to back and have less and less time getting caught in distortions. And that applies to teams of people, by the way. Mm-hmm. So teams also have their distorted nature, and they also have that nature of divine wisdom.
I'd take a little sidebar real quick, because you use the analogy of golf. Do you? My observation of the gentleman who has been in the news a lot in the last couple of years in the golf world, Tiger Woods, he was in his brilliance for many years there, and suddenly he got caught up in the distortions.
Yes.
Tell me, do you think that it's likely, I don't want to use the word possible here, because I think it is, but do you think it's likely that he may reclaim that brilliance?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not speaking specifically for Tiger Woods. I've never met the man. But for any one of us, our brilliance is always present to us. We may not always be present to our brilliance.
Ah.
So sometimes we'll get caught in a distorted path where we're making really bad choices, and that path is going to start, eventually the life we're living starts reflecting and mirroring that back to us, and it will break us down. If we keep living from distorted, life is going to take us down farther and farther, but we'll get to some point, and sometimes some people have to bottom out, but other people can catch that trend before they get to the bottom. But we get to some point where we say, enough. That might come from an intervention from within, or that might come from an intervention from without, like from the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that moment, in that moment of enough, great, now this person has been opened up to reclaiming their brilliance. But now the question is, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, support is needed in those moments to find someone. It's either going to be a good friend, perhaps a coach, a counselor, a workshop, a retreat in the desert, but there's something that would really support that person in that moment to say, you know what, I really want to turn this around. And then the other thing is it takes time to turn it around, just like it takes time to build a life. The life we're living today is created from all the seeds we planted before this day. And the seeds we're planting today are creating the life we will step into tomorrow. So it takes time sometimes for the world to come around and meet us and be as sparkly as we want it to be. So we have to be able to stay engaged long enough for that world to reorient itself to this emerging one that we are now becoming.
And to that end, you have some programs that are available through awakenedwisdom.com that people can get involved in as well. Tell us a little bit about that in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, at our website, awakenedwisdom.com, I created what I call the Awakened Wisdom Center. And this was in response to so many people that said, well, it's like, how do we like tap in more into some different ideas that you're working on? And so I created an online community center, and it's like an online campus. And people can join for free, by the way. And when you join for free, you'll get a bunch of visualizations that are recorded around living an awakened life. You'll be able to listen to interviews of some of the world's thought leaders that I'm in the process of interviewing. And so go to the website, awakenedwisdom.com, and join the center. Beyond that, we have a three-day workshop that we tour all around the world, and we're going to be taking it to Minnesota in a couple of months. We'll be taking it to Toronto. We've been through the Bay Area. So go to the website, see about the workshop. If any of your listeners are coaches, we offer an advanced coach training program to show coaches how to work with people and support them around the ideas that we've been discussing here. And there's our Journey to the Unknown, I call it. It's a week-long retreat that we're going to do from April 12th to 17th in the desert, in the Joshua Tree area, which is an extraordinarily energetically powerful area. And so people could come and join us for that retreat as well. The other thing is we're going to be announcing pretty soon an online series of webinars for solopreneurs, for entrepreneurs, and small business people that are filled with a dream to create something in the world. And I've been doing that my whole life. It's like I'm all over that one. So we're just about to be launching a program to support people in doing that. Because when people can get their calling and their yearning and their dream out into the world, then they will be living the life of their dreams, and that's good for us all.
And before I let you go, final question. You could have done a lot of different things in your life up to this point, and you didn't. You chose this. Why this? Why now?
One of the things we talk a lot about in the Awakened Wisdom work is to stay attuned to the wisdom field. And the wisdom, when we talk about intuition, the intuition is the process of something occurring to us. But where that wisdom comes from is the wisdom field. And so one of the things that we all have to do every day is to look out, listen to our heart, our mind, and our body intelligences, and to ask what's needed from me right now, and to trust the inspiration that comes through. And so I was really clearly guided to create an organization called Awakened Wisdom. I still don't know exactly where it's going, but there's hundreds of people that are gathering around it. We've touched thousands of people through our programs, and it's shaping me as much as I'm shaping it, and I've got this amazing, amazing team of people around me, and blessings to them, because we're all navigating our way together. And it's now, because I really think we're responding to what is being asked for from us at this time in the history of the planet and the universe and the humans.
Well, Patrick, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and I encourage everyone to go to awakenedwisdom.com to get more information, check out the workshops and programs that you have, and I really do appreciate your taking time out.
Thank you, Richard. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and blessings to you as well for this amazing body of work that you've been creating.
Thank you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, love to all.